Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael Steve Robb running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Robb's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels and Sid City Steve here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Rob Bussolari is either at a show or maybe on the corner of 4th and Vegas Boulevard.
Either way, he's making people laugh somewhere. Take that however you will.
That's what she said.
Something. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. We here in Vegas had a little dynamite going on this past Wednesday with some, you know, some stuff going on here to set up what's going on in the world of Great Britain coming up. All right, what's your feelings on the dynamite?
Well, the key thing with Dynamite and Collision this week was the Continental Challenge Cup, as they've changed the name. So they're now calling it the C3. They referred to it on commentary. So I guess this is going to be a permanent thing. They're going to be doing the Continental Classic in the winter, and now the Continental Challenge Cup in the summer. So I like what they're doing. And
does he know of any other terms other than Continental?
No, man. Well, it's for the Continental title. You know, you got the C2 in December and you got the C3 in the summer.
What's the C1?
Your guess is as good as mine, brother.
Okay. All right.
But you know, The thing that stood out to me with this tournament is, and I made mention of it last week, but there have been absolutely zero surprises in this tournament so far.
Yeah.
So you could easily look at the lineup and right off the bat, you could tell who's going to win each match. Okay. Obviously Moxley goes over Jack Perry in a pretty bloody match. There, I know, shock and surprise.
But the shock and the surprise wasn't that it was bloody. It was that it was like, well, Jack Perry apparently could use real glass with Mox. So it's cool.
Clearly.
Jesus.
Clearly. But yeah, I think that, you know, we need some surprise in this tournament. And there hasn't been any element of surprise. I do like the fact that they're doing the blind draws before every round, and doing it on the YouTube channel obviously does allow for some synergy, you know, getting that out there, as long as they set the expectation that that's what they're going to be doing every year for the Continental Challenge Cup, and having those blind draws announced the Monday before those shows. I like the idea. I like the idea of the tournament. I just wish that there would be some better execution with things. But take that out of the equation. There was absolutely fantastic wrestling this week on Dynamite. I know, shock. But the other thing that I really want to mention is, did you like how they basically told you that the New Day was going to be coming in and joining up with Swerve Strickland in his quest for those trios titles? That was the thing that I got from that from that demand promo with the good, the bad, and the ugly. So
it, I mean, it's it, Okay, so the question is, though, if you're doing that much of a hint, right?
Yeah.
Why are we not just advertising it? And maybe you'll get a couple more buys, the pay-per-view buys.
And that's actually kind of what I was going to lean into is, you know, they just today, according to WrestleTix, passed 40,000 tickets sold for All In, which, you know, say whatever you will, all 90,000 seat building, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that there is another promotion in the world that can sell 40,000 tickets to a stadium show is an accomplishment. Yes, they're down from where they were in years past, but that's what they need. They need next week's Go Home Dynamite to make announcements like Swerve saying, okay, I'm going to bring in Kofi and Austin Creed as my partners and actually finalize that. That is, you know, a way that you can pack that building, not necessarily going to sell out the remaining seats, but, you know, that would be a great way to get a last minute rush for those tickets.
Well, not even ticket sales. I personally, pay-per-view
buys.
It's pay-per-view buys. That's the thing. It's like you're using this archaic system still of pay-per-view buys in which you do not give the actual numbers. So, you know, my feeling is, why would you not want to get just that casual? And stupid as it might sound, if you've got the money, then why are you not announcing them, let's say last week or this week, and then running commercials with their images on it during WWE programming for the pay-per-view to you know, to show faces WWE fans know and go, oh shit, I didn't know. Because again, if you're playing just to the IWC, everyone already fucking knows.
Oh yeah.
But if you're playing to that casual fan who watches WWE, has no idea that they're not with them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, a 12-year-old kid who doesn't follow the fucking dirt sheets and just go, oh wow, fuck, I want to see this. Dad, buy this.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. I totally agree with you. And I know that's kind of rare on the show, but I think that we can find some common ground in that they're doing some, I don't want to speak for you, but they're doing some good things, but they have a lot more that they could do to entice people to purchase that pay-per-view, or if they are in Europe, to go to that show live. But in terms of, you know, the action and what we saw this past week, I think that they are doing a good job of building up to your main matches. So the Ospreay and Omega match, as well as Mercedes and Willow. I know you're such a fan of Willow, but you probably had to enjoy her getting her ass kicked by Mercedes on Wednesday.
No, because
right?
It was Mercedes. So it was two negatives for me. And like, I didn't know what was better. It's like, she's getting her ass kicked, but it's Mercedes getting over on her. Like, oh God, this is just... Oh, this is painful. This is painful.
Yeah. And you know, it goes without saying that there are some matches that have been announced for All In as well. As we saw on Collision, that three-way match, man, I kind of read the tea leaves and saw that they were going in that direction, with Kyle Fletcher versus Konosuke Takeshita versus Kazuchika Okada, and what probably could be a match of the year contender for sure. All three of those guys are, dare I say, three of my favorite talents in that entire company. And if you love pro wrestling, that thought has to at least, you know, make you interested in at least watching that match. But, you know, elsewhere, you know, speaking of Collision, both shows were taped on the same day, one week ago, ironically enough, as we're recording this on Wednesday, the 19th. But yeah, I've got to say, man, I liked the pairing of the Rascals with Leo Rush. It just fucking worked. Leo had tights that actually matched him. And what's better is we got to see Lights, Camera, Faction versus that that quartet as well. So Ice Williams, you had Joe Braxton, you had Watson, and you had Fresco-matic. And yeah, they had a quick but good showing in that match.
The funniest thing about that match was the fact that Shivani only got Fresco-matic, and then like his attention got pulled, and so that was the only
name he mentioned. Yeah.
As almost he thought the whole faction was just called Fresco-matic.
Of course.
Oh, Tony, you're old.
Gotta love it, man. But yeah, the they did do some very good things on Collision as well. You know, the in-ring is always pretty solid with Collision. But one thing that I did like that they did is they actually had some synergy, and they're actually showing clips from what happened this past week on Dynamite on Collision. And what happened this past week on Collision on Dynamite. Yeah. More of that, please. Just keep that going. It's so minor, but it really does build the synergy, and it does make you want to tune in. And let's be real, Collision is lifeless largely at this point. If you're just a casual viewer, you're not going to watch Collision. But if you are getting video packages and updates, and you know, if they put the hottest parts of matches on Dynamite from Collision, then you know, you might actually start to see that Collision number rise up a bit. So I'm all for it. I don't know why it's taken them 7 years, to be frank, to do this, but yeah, they're making good strides, and quite frankly, at a time when they need to be doing it, heading into All In London. So on Collision, you had Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. O'Reilly picking up the win.
Stinker.
I know that you loved that one.
So the problem is that, again, like you said, this tournament is just a little too clear cut.
Yes.
And it was like, you could have a great match, but these guys know each other so well that it's like, okay, and your friends, there's no story derivative in terms of it's not gonna, you know, if anyone goes heel off of it, who cares, essentially.
Well, so, I think both companies are guilty of putting wayward tournaments out there right now. So we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, that's no, but I'm just saying, like, you can have, see, that's the thing though. You can have a great match.
Yes.
But it's two guys that we've seen, you know, if you're going to have the first round have obvious outcomes, freshen it up a bit, maybe, you know, just try some things that are different. Why not?
Switch partners. It'll be fun.
I mean, or why didn't you have if you were going to go into it, do a three-way between Orange and them, right? Yeah. And have that whole group. And then one group member now is qualified or something for the tournament or something like that.
And likewise, you know, Etchicero beating Brian Cage, which Cage continuing to be used poorly in AEW. Any kind of an impact, he's going to have to get out of the Don Callis family. That's going to have to happen in order for him to prosper, quite frankly.
It's like you just built him up for the last, 2 months or so. You know, he might not be getting win like over Darby Allin, but Jesus Christ, he's, you know, beating the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And then you give him a loss in that manner. It's like, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But again, what you can't say is that the wrestling isn't good, right?
Right.
You can question, you know, certain things that what would make the enhancement better in terms of the, you know, again, it's like, hey, it's the three in a faction, let's have them go at it. And then one of them qualifies instead of having two guys now go on. You know, that's the same thing with, you know, Mox and Claudio. It's like,
yeah,
let's have the faction warfare, you know, and then now you got a little something you can play with story wise too. Those are the things that I think that he misses sometimes because he doesn't have the guidance of, you know, some of the guys in what I mean, some of the guys, I mean, trusted, like, you know, an old school professional like Arn in his ear going, hey, you know, why don't you try this? You know?
Yeah.
You know, when you got Jericho in your ear, it's basically Jericho going, you know what I'd like to do. So it's like,
well, yeah, I mean, I think we all saw how Wednesday went with Jericho. And there were some instances. Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. My gosh.
All right. Since you brought up Wednesday and Jericho, so this picture goes up, and then these are some of the
comments. Oh, my God. Greg Valentine.
Is that Greg Valentine? I see what you're saying. Greg is in better shape. Holy shit. I thought it was Vince Neil. Damn, Jericho. He went from being the Ayatollah of rock and roll to the Ayatollah of Rocky Rota. And finally, he's ripped and cut. This is AI. I just seen the actual video. I am wrong. He looks bad again. Jeez.
I mean, so not to throw stones by any means, but can you put that last one up there again?
This one?
Yeah. Take a look at that dude's profile picture. Like, I mean, come on.
But the funny thing, Steve, is that he was actually defending him.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, he was ripped and cut. And then he's like, oh, I saw the video.
Jeez, dude, it's crazy. But yeah, there were definitely some missteps in that match. But yeah, Chris Jericho obviously is doing it for the love of the game at this point.
Well, okay, so you said messed ups. I mean, it was screwdriver gate, let's face it.
Yes, thank you.
What do you think happened? Because I've got a thought on it, but I want to hear what you think.
So I mean, I think that Jericho was not in the right spot. Regardless, he and Don were not on the same page. Because Don, if you look at the clip, he's up on the apron,
right?
You know, like he's ready for the spot, and Jericho actually has to drag Kevin Knight to the ropes so he can get hit with a screwdriver.
Okay. So in my thought process, and this is where I it just got really weird to me because everyone's, you know, calling out, you know, oh, him being old and him having to drag him, et cetera, et cetera. What I couldn't understand was this. First off, if that spot is supposed to be what it was, where he hit him with the screwdriver, he wasn't up on the apron. He hit him between the ropes, which made sense. So then I wondered, my thought was,
well, like his leg was like, he basically was about ready to get onto the apron.
But he saw he was close enough there to just hit him with the screwdriver in through the rope, which to me would make perfect sense if that spot was to the thing. And then, so what I couldn't understand was Don got up and he was about to get in the ring.
Yeah.
When Chris saw that, I couldn't understand why Chris didn't break the hold, go towards the ropes. Don jumps down, you turn around, the guy's getting up, you know, throw him back into it now as it's closer to the ropes. Don sees this, runs over, jabs him. Ref doesn't see shit.
Yeah.
I just couldn't understand why the improv got lost and Chris decided to. And then I think I also didn't know if Chris knew. See, this is the difference. For the most part, between AEW and WWE, whoever was in that fucking van calling the camera shots really fucked that up.
Yes.
Because they just set to what they were supposed to set to. Yep. And they didn't go on the fly and just keep it tight on Jericho and then tight on Don and just keep it on Don until you saw that Jericho got to the fucking rope. It would have been fine. And then it would have been some asshole, you know, in the crowd filming it and putting it online, you know, say, well, look what Jericho did. To me, the problem was, is that they didn't improv it off of it. And then even worse is the cameras just didn't fucking justify it. It caught it all. And I was just like, oh man. So it takes the wind out of the sails.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, unjustifiably, you know, it gets, and I came at someone because the thing was, someone said something about the WWE, and it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, this isn't the tribalism of it. It's like, these guys are honestly human beings, and the fuck ups are there. And it doesn't matter what company, both companies are going to have them. All companies have them.
Yes.
You gotta be a little more lenient, because after all, it is fictionalized storytelling.
Exactly. But obviously one could say that it broke immersion. So I understand that aspect of it.
But even on breaking immersion, what I don't like is that they were going after Jericho for being 54.
Right. That age has nothing to do with it.
No.
Age has nothing to do with that whatsoever. No.
And if anything, was it Jericho just set him up too far? Was it not, like, you know, again,
it's just
like
a logistical fuck up.
And you have two guys who've been in the business for, you know, 30 plus years. So I also go, Don, to me, sometimes I just wonder if Don really fucking cares. He just like, oh well.
Yeah, you know that he has an extremely short term memory. So I mean, he's already forgotten about that shit.
Yeah. So you know.
But,
oh well.
In any event, I did also want to mention
I love that. I love the big Hebrew jacket. That's fucking amazing.
Big fucking Hebrew. Yeah. MJF. I'm not a huge fan of the Real World's Championship gimmick that he's running with right now. However, you know, I think it's pretty obvious how everything's going to go down. He is going to end up winning that Casino Gauntlet match. That's what makes the most sense. And they'll probably run Ospreay versus MJF
in New York.
I was going to say it all out in Chicago. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say he gets the title back in New York. And Ospreay has it for 4 months or whatever. And then it's like, he wins it back in New York. And then we're doing that again. Like,
I don't think MJF is successful in cashing that in. I think they will give Will a run probably through the end of 2026, to be honest.
They should.
They've been doing a lot of hot potato recently with championships. And I think that they would do well by having some stability with that championship again. I could easily see that, maybe even something like at World's End, in December, if you don't want to extend it all the way to 2027. But I still don't think MJF is the one that takes that title off of him. I think that is going to be the proto star. I think Fletcher is going to be the one to take that title off of Ospreay.
Yeah, it's got to be Fletcher. I agree 100%. You do nothing to have Ospreay lose to anyone else. Like,
right.
Swerve, MJF, it doesn't matter. All those guys, it doesn't matter.
Even Moxley, it doesn't matter.
Especially Moxley, Jesus Christ.
Right.
But in the end, the whole point is that he has to lose to Fletcher. Fletcher has to get that elevation from it. That's why he can't have a short run.
Yes.
That's why you need X amount of months, because you have to have him established enough to the point where that Fletcher comes in and becomes that build. Then when Fletcher wins, now we have a little, you know, a little teeth in the meat, you know, it's a little something. Because again, you look back and again, I know, you know, we're like the Darby Allin thing and shit, but at the same time, what did it do? And it's like, it just was a gap filler for something that didn't need to be a gap filler. In fact, you could have given Darby a longer stretch run because of the fact that really you didn't do any other storytelling other than now having MJF doing this fucking real champion thing. And like you said, it's like,
I think, honestly, here's where, unfortunately, I think we're going to part ways, because with the Darby reign, I think that it was great in that it lasted 6 weeks. He defended the championship 11 times during that time period. And it was such a Darby Allin-esque run, meaning, yes, it wasn't a long reign, but he busted his ass for 6 weeks. And that it was a giant car crash. So the fact that we are still talking about that and mentioning it because it was different, I think is a good shock to the system. But they could definitely do with some stability with that championship. And realistically, that's what they need to be doing going forward.
But the thing that gets me is you have this guy who climbed Mount Everest. You have him, you know, doing local news programs or this or that, you know, going viral for this or that, whatever. The problem is that in a 6 week run, yeah, okay, great. It was car crash. It was quick. But you know, from my perspective is, why did you not elongate that to now give him some exposed credibility that he can now take this? You can take him and translate him into other things.
Yeah.
You know, it just, you took that opportunity. You made it so short. You made it a wrestling story when you could have made him elevated a little bit more. It's the same thing. Orange Cassidy. Just kind of just in there. And this guy's got fucking, he really does have a great personality as a person. He's a great guy.
Hell yeah.
It's like, that's the thing I'd want to see. I want to see some of these guys. I'm not a Darby fan, but I'm all for elevating to the point where, listen, if you become as valuable, you know, for what he is right now, if you build him up just 2 more months in that run, now you're talking, he becomes more of a valuable commodity to where you have to make sure he never leaves, you know?
Well, realistically, do you think that he would ever go to WWE? Be honest. Or if there would be any interest from WWE in Darby Allin? Come on.
Honestly,
maybe as a referee.
No, honestly, if they went, see, and that's the thing. If you elevate someone to where they're profile becomes dollar signs in their eyes, now you're upping your value as a brand. That's all, you know, that's what I'm saying. If he gets that more exposure and all of a sudden TKO is going, well, you know what? Look at Danhausen doesn't have half the ability that he has in ring. So, you know, we could bring in Darby and you could make Undertaker money off of a guy doing casket matches and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You can use that. You can use that potential if the brand is already established. If they have to establish the brand, then he goes to NXT and there's nothing there for him.
Right. Exactly.
So that's all it is. It's just, again, it's just the business sense of building a brand and then making him even more valuable to you. To where Tony is like, well, here's a fucking 10-year contract, dude. You know, become the fucking, you know, the pillar of our company. You know, that's why I say MJF, the same thing. you know, you keep doing what you're doing, keep leveling him up, because he has, you know, Darby's, it's a niche because of the fact he does the face paint and stuff like that. So, but Max is already fucking establishing himself as a Hollywood guy and stuff like that.
Yes.
So, you know, again, it's, you know, for the love of the game and helping guys get bigger. All right. So Cope said his experience by the end of WWE was overproduced, overrehearsed, over everything, and they kept handcuffs on you to the point where you couldn't really explore too much. That's not the case with AEW, and that, again, is fun, which is great. That's the other side of it. He also, in this interview, talked about the fact that he would have loved to have done the match with Cena, and apparently Tony would have been behind that. But
that, of course, that I don't know how true that was.
Yeah.
Because I saw that quote and I immediately rolled my eyes with it, because there's still a lot of bad blood there, regardless of whatever kind of a PR face that Tony wants to put on. There's still a lot of animosity. You can just tell. You can just read body language and past comments. So, props to Cope for doing what he's enjoying and enjoying what he's doing at this age. You know, you can't really hate on that too much. Obviously, we'll see what happens as we get closer to Wembley. But yeah, there are still some dream matches left to be seen involving Cope and Cage. And the embarrassment of wealth that AEW has at the tag team level. And speaking of the tag teams, I know that we want to get back into talking about this comment from Cope, but they're doing a really good job also of building that women's tag match at the pay-per-view between Divine Dominion and the Brawling Birds. Also, shout out to Maserati and Rochelle Riveter for... putting over Divine Dominion and making them look like $1 billion on Collision too.
Well, it was kind of hard not to, considering the massive size of those women compared to
Megan Bain and Rochelle Cross fucking imposing as hell.
Right. And Rochelle and Maserati are absolutely built. You know, it's not like they're, you know, just waves. So just that overwhelming presence, it's exactly what is needed. You know, same thing with the faction did. It's exactly what was needed. And again, I know that if Rob were on the show, Rob's, you know, would now be backtracking his thing about, well, they use too much local talent on the shows.
Dude, I loved seeing all the local talent on Collision, because obviously there was the other 8-man tag with the Hurt Syndicate and Shane Taylor Promotions, taking on Jake Redondo and, you know, Mariachi Montana, and also Sonico making an appearance in there. So that was really cool. That was just seeing so much local Vegas talent. I love when they come here, because AEW does use a lot of local talent wherever they go.
Yeah, absolutely. And our guys show up, you know, on shows in Arizona and
like
California. So it's all good. All right, Raw, we had some stuff going on, but these two things caught my eye the most on Raw.
Lord of mercy.
Mackerel. She was wearing that low cut, man. It was like, oh, God, please, just, she is just amazing, man. It's nice to see her back in the mix.
Great to see Stephanie Vaquer back, for sure.
And then... This is interesting. Someone pointed this out. Roman Reigns ordered Jacob Fatu not to touch LA Knight. So when LA Knight and Solo Sikoa were taking out Roman Reigns and the Usos, Jacob simply stood there and watched.
Yes, like a good soldier.
Dude.
It's the little things that WWE always gets right. But I've got to say, man, the main headlining feuds on both Raw and SmackDown, they're doing some really good stuff right now. Really good stuff with promos and building new characters. I love the babyface Solo. He's been on a roll for quite some time now, and it's long overdue that the fans are noticing it as well. And that's really cool to see.
Yeah. And they kind of found, you know, again, when they find something where, you know, everyone's going, well, they're doing nothing with LA Knight, nothing with LA. LA Knight has just rubbed Solo into the fan favorite thing. This is what people forget. It's not about, oh, he's got to be a champion, he's got to do this, he's got, no, it's about, listen, we might be exploring. And the other thing too is Royce Keyes also just got that baby bump.
That's
horribly put out of horribly put out of action by Fatu too. So it's like they just got, you know, they just elevated two guys to where LA Knight, kind of that baby fandom is, to where you're starting to feel this. Now you're seeing the intertwine with Jacob, and like, you know, am I really, you know, are we going to see him at some point take down? I think that's WrestleMania. You know, if you end up doing Roman versus Jacob, that's a no fucking brainer big match.
Oh yeah. Oh dude, that's realistically, you could do that at one of your big four pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And that would be a fantastic main event for one of those nights. Yeah. I think that so many people are blinded. You know, it's the old adage that you can't see the forest for the trees. But I think that, you know, so many people want LA Knight to be elevated even more than what he is. He is fantastic on the mic. He's good in the ring. Some would argue great in the ring. At the end of the day, not everybody can be main eventers. I wonder who on this show has always said that. Probably some random dude.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is that you tier it, right? And you know what your top tier is, and that's your money tier, right? Those are the guys who have these big contracts. When the contracts come up, more money goes to them, and that's what it's going to be. Then you got your next tier down, and the next tier is that you know, that Kevin Owens, that Sami Zayn tier, right? These guys who go around, who are champions, can be champions, or can be, you know, used lower in storylines to elevate other people. And now you're getting to that, you know, the next tier, which is that LA Knight and that kind of bloodline, and you're getting some of these guys hanging around there. So it's good overall, because you see a different, you know, a different feel for being able to build, you know, Solo could have been in trouble.
Yeah. He
could have been released with the MFTs, to be honest.
Dude, but Solo, I was afraid. I was genuinely afraid that was going to happen, but thankfully that didn't happen. Because and the other thing too, you can just tell by his facial expressions, his body language. I keep mentioning that he's enjoying what he's doing.
Oh yeah,
you know that he loves being a troll, and the comedic timing that he has is fantastic.
Yeah, and he's also the one of the most important things about him is actually is a backstage leader. You know, from you know, stories I know from friends of mine, in getting, you know, some of the breakdown and stuff. Solo is not opposed to stepping up and making sure people understand, you know, this is what you do, this is who you talk to, this is how things go after a match, this is how things go, you know, during the day when you get here. He's one of those guys who is going to make you feel comfortable in learning about how everything goes, and that's leadership shit. And you know, that's valuable. All right. SmackDown. You know, one of the things we got to talk about is two title changes.
Yep.
As we had JC Jane, take away the US championship, and now Fatal Influence, all champions, which is interesting. And then of course, and of course the MFTs, who again bring in Haku, and of course they're champs.
The motherfucking Tongans.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I do have to say, when that first promo hit, when they put Haku with them, And he actually name dropped that phrase, motherfucking Tongans. I popped. Like, yes, I like what they're doing with them. Yeah. They finally have some direction. And how often is it that when a faction breaks up, for lack of a better descriptor, that everybody that was involved in the faction that's still employed with the company is doing well? You know, obviously you've got the MFTs with those tag titles. Solo's doing some great things as well. It's the best thing that could have happened to them. You know, obviously minus JC Mateo and, Tongaloa being released is what those other three men are doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. And then these two men are doing amazing work.
Hell yes. Hell yes, man.
Kevin Owens, the way you have treated people I care about, good friends of mine, CM Punk. Oh, which ones? I think you are going to have to be a little bit more specific. I'm pretty sure your friends hate me. Kevin, hey, you might think I'm talking about only three of them, but trust me, every friend I have is in this industry hates you because they see right through you. And then Phil says, hated by losers is the price I pay for not being one of them.
Wow.
Which was interesting. Phil, again, maybe if you put the work in, you wouldn't be fat. Maybe if you put the work in, your moonsault wouldn't be ass. I mean, that's great shit. And then endometriosis gate breaks out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Holy shit.
Saying endometriosis about, you know, Kevin, and it's just like, oh my God, that promo. I mean, what else can you ask for a promo that caused controversy from like three different directions?
Dude, the one thing that I have to say is when it looked like we were finally going in this direction with Punk and Owens, we knew that the promos were going to be great. But everything that we've gotten has actually exceeded my expectations, which is difficult to do, to be completely honest. I'm a huge Kevin Owens fan. Obviously, reasons behind that. But also, I was a fan of actually both of those guys when they were in Ring of Honor. For them to bring elements of what went down, that was a shoot in Ring of Honor. Like, these guys do not like each other, dating back to the early 2000s. Yeah. So for them to bring in those elements and for Phil and Kevin to still maintain professionalism, yet toe that line, that is the type of shit that they need to be doing. I can safely say this. I am more excited for that match than any CM Punk match since he went back to WWE, by far.
And the fact that we're getting it in Canada on free TV,
that's my only beef with it. Put it on like a Sunday night's main event. I don't think they're done.
I think Kevin actually gets the win somehow.
Like whether it's count out or like a fuck finish of some kind,
yeah, or count out or some.
They're not going to put the title on Owens.
No. But that's what I'm saying. But he gets some kind of actual win over Punk without getting the title, right? That's why I say like a count out or just something, disqualification. So that, I think you're right. I would lean it towards then that next match happens at the Sunday main event. I agree totally that this just can't be a one-off.
It can't, dude. They're doing so much good stuff right now for it to just end on a free TV show. Now, obviously, yes, I know I'm, you know, the AEW guy on the panel, but they give us dream matches every single week. So obviously the two products are completely different. This is not something that we're used to seeing from WWE. We are used to seeing it from the other product, but we're not used to seeing it from WWE. So I think that it was a bit jarring when they made the announcement that it was going to be just on a free episode of TV. But yeah, there's got to be more than meets the eye to it, man. Right. Got to be.
And he's and you figure Kevin in Canada, he gets a win, the fans go crazy. It seems like he might even have won the title. You know, you do something like that.
Do you think that like a visual pinfall, where like ref bump Owens hits like a major move, and you actually think it's going to happen? Ref comes out, you know, the slow 1-2, and then finally a kick out. Do you think that that would be enough, or do you think that Owens actually has to get the win in, you know, a DQ or a count out?
It depends. It depends what you're looking for in terms of what you do to get to that second match.
Yeah.
And I think that if you have Kevin say something like, you know, I beat you in my hometown, you know, in Canada, but you're still holding that. And that pisses me off. You know, something like that you could go with. You know, again, you could always go back to the Andre Hogan WrestleMania 3 thing, where it looks like a 3 count was made. Kevin thinks he won it, you know, and it's like, you go back and look at the video. I fucking won, you know. I mean, there's so much flavor there that you can choose from.
Like the ref counts 3 and then Punk has his foot on the rope or something.
Something, yeah, exactly. Or the shoulder blade was up, you know, where the ref didn't see the shoulder blade, you know, something like that. You know, Pierce comes down, like Kevin's won the belt and he's got it up. And Pierce comes down and says, whoa, 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 whoa.
Ah, the good old dusty finish.
Yeah, you know, sure.
Yeah, sure. Dude.
And then Kevin Owens' kid can chase the belt,
and finish his story in about 20 years.
Exactly. All right. NXT. Dude,
really quick. Yeah. Can we just talk for a split second about that opening segment with Nick Aldis and Chelsea Green They swerved the shit out of me, because obviously Chelsea with the broken orbital bone, I thought for sure that they were going to strip that title, which obviously they just got done talking about Liv Morgan holding the championship, not defending it for 100 and some days. So, yeah, I was afraid they were going to do that. And, dude, the fucking crowds love Chelsea Green. And good reason. She is absolutely fantastic and has been for a very long time.
Right.
But it's really good to see. This is what an organic build of a character actually looks like. I think that everything that they did there, you know, from Aldis, you know, the way that he delivered that speech and that promo was fantastic. You had Gunther come out there, and then obviously the subsequent murdering of Matt Cardona.
And again, the tie-in like that was great, because now all of a sudden you went from something to something else, and there was no down on it, which, you know, that was nice. The other thing with Chelsea too is I think they had to go this way because they literally would have called her the actual champion, because they were looking to do that because of Rhea's timeline.
That night that she got injured, she was introduced as the women's champion. They took the interim out.
Right. They were about to do that. And so it was like, so now you're kind of stuck in the same position where it's like the orbital injury, hopefully is one of those injuries that, as long as it heals nice enough where they can throw a mask on her, you know, put the protector on her, then I think that 30-day time frame, I think they're right. They can play right onto that, and it will look like she can't compete. And then all of a sudden, it's like she got cleared, and you know, whoever was supposed to get that belt handed to them is now going to be pissed because, oh, now I got to fucking, and then they lose to her, and it just, again, when you leave the story door, the storyline doors open just a little bit, then you get those little like, oh, here's a, oh, this. Because imagine if a crowd thinks that that night someone is getting handed a belt. Like, you have a bunch of heels perfect for that right now, too. So, you know, especially like Nia Jax. Like, if they keep, if they have Nia Jax, like, fans fucking hate her. Like, oh, I'm owed this belt. I, you should give me that belt. Well, we're on the 30 day. Yeah, well, crown me, you know. And then Chelsea is cleared, comes out, the bell rings, she rolls her up and pins Nia, like, in 4 seconds.
That would be awesome.
Fucking go crazy. The crowd would just go nuts. And then you'd have Nia fucking throwing a hissy fit and destroying ringside. And again, fun things you can play with as, absolutely, you know, when stuff like that happens. Okay, NXT. Bunch of stuff with NXT. A lot of good stuff going on. But of course, the story comes down to another Samoan.
Another Hello.
And this past Tuesday, Zilla paid tribute to The Rock with his outfit on NXT. I love that. Very much Rock vibes.
Oh, yes.
Triple H, like the Tongans, win the tag championships on SmackDown. Let the main event of NXT be that Zilla and Patu debut with WWE. Let the main event of Raw be that Solo Sikoa returns with Roman and then turns on him. I mean, just
good all shit bloodline there. Every day.
And then look at these guys. You still have,
they're six, all waiting in the wings, bro.
Six of them, especially, you know, Tomko and Lance, both are, you know, pretty seasoned.
What the fuck's right with now. Johnny Sins down there in the bottom right hand corner?
Just hysterical, right? The stepbrother. So yeah, I mean, a lot of good stuff going on there. NXT again, now it's going to be a four-way between Zilla and Grayson and Cruz Montana and Tony D'Angelo. And very importantly, of course, as NXT was going off the air, the words that foreshadow came out of the mouths of the commentary team, and that is, and Tony D'Angelo doesn't have to be pinned to lose the title. It's like, all right, now we're already looking at how that's going to go. So, all right. And then this was posted by Alexis King.
Yes.
Yeah, I had no fucking idea that Brooks Jensen was Bull Buchanan's kid.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's one of the more what the fuck lineages that you didn't, you just didn't see coming, but... but it was pretty interesting stuff, man.
Yeah, that they posted this after the Avery Styles stuff when it happened, and it's like, he goes and he posts this with Avery in that picture, and it's like, all right. And then of course now Ray's daughter Aaliyah's training. I would never in my life have thought that Dean Malenko's daughter would look like that.
Right. Like, that came from Dean Malenko.
I'm like, are we sure?
You know what? I ain't gonna ask questions.
So yeah, just
hopefully she has more charisma than her pops.
You know, he was the man of 1,001 somethings, right?
1,001 holds. Jericho beat him by 3, but nonetheless.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. All right. Well, with that being said, all right. And over and under this week, Steve.
All right. So I mentioned in the AEW breakdown that AEW All-In tickets crossed over 40,000 today. And as they're going to be fleshing out the card, as they, you know, add more to it, I think that they will do some reveals, especially during, you know, the go home edition of Dynamite next week. I think that what we're going to see is we are going to see that ticket number rise over the next week to being over 45,000 tickets sold for All In London at Wembley Stadium on August the 30th. They are doing some pretty cool things too for, you know, members of the NHS and medical staff, first responders. They're actually able to get tickets right now for just paying a processing fee. So you can say whatever you want about them giving away free tickets, but they're giving tickets to the people that, quite frankly, deserve to get those free tickets. Yeah, so that's been a subject of discourse online is, oh, well, they're giving them all away. Yes, but keep in mind, the only people that can take advantage of that are the blue card holders, which in the UK are going to be, like I said, the medical staffers, right. First responders, people that truly deserve those benefits and those breaks. But over the next week,
unfortunately, Steve, did you actually see the fees on the tickets? They're $110 because it's Ticketmaster. So, you know, it's like, thanks for your service. Oh, by the way, your service charge is $110.
Yeah, knowing what the service charges were for those Dynamite tickets, that doesn't surprise me at all.
It's hysterical. It's like, I mean, honestly, I would have, it's a great thought. I would like to see there be some way where they could have gotten around the processing fees. I think that to me is bullshit on the end of Ticketmaster if that's the one who's handling it.
It's realistically, though, all jokes aside, it's not that bad. It's the processing fees are £2.95. So it's, like $5, you know,
it's not that bad, but at the same time, what makes me mad is here they're doing something good. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, why do you have to make a processing fee off of something that is being done for the good? That's the same thing with
they can classify them as a paid ticket.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me.
You know what? It's a very good probability. I think you're actually probably right on that. And it's the same thing with like the ALS show. I don't think the ALS show, I think that, you know, there should be no service fees on that. I think it should be a flat fee that goes to the money goes to the research and the cure. But
absolutely.
Your over and under is
Is over 45,000 tickets sold to All In by 1 week from today.
There we go. A little social media dump here. Let's
I would say so.
Let's look at a social media dumper. Hello. When Megan Bain shows up in your town and decides to just shoot random shots in Las Vegas, you go, okay,
absolutely.
That sounds fine. Oh, and she loves Las Vegas. Oh, yeah.
We love her.
And then these new cards are coming out with this idiot having his own 12 cards subset. Oh god.
Oh boom. Oh,
god. I know, Steve, you're dying for this one.
Dude, I gotta cop me one of those.
Oh yeah. This was the best one. MJF burning the damn thing down. And then if you can explain this.
That's awesome. So really quick, we can launch back in, but they have started using Paul White more on commentary.
Yep.
That dude is getting more comfortable and it is fun to listen to him because he brings a completely different perspective and he's more comfortable. He's settling in. He's developing a comedic timing and a chemistry with the other commentators. It's really fun to see.
Yeah. And it's
less, or here, I should say,
and less having to listen to El Mascico, horrible announcer guy. Listen, as long as they're able to utilize him because he just signed the contract, utilize him, you know, and this is a good role. So Looks like John Cena's going to play Johnny Bravo. That's awesome. Yep.
Does he have the hair for it?
Well, obviously he'll get the hair for anyone, man. Like, you know, that's going to be, all right. Ooh. Ellie posted this about a day or so ago. Please keep the man known as Slick in your thoughts and prayers after suffering a heart attack and undergoing open heart surgery. Wishing him strength, full recovery, speedy return, good health, stay strong. As well as Conan allegedly waiting for another kidney transplant after rejection. So
that guy's been going through it this year, man.
Yeah, it's
it really sucks to see all the stuff that's happened to Conan. You know, the amputations and it's sad.
Yeah,
and so, you know, Slick, obviously Slick and Conan, definitely keep both you guys in our prayers from the Vegas Bad Boys for sure.
On the other side of the aisle, we have Danhausen's birthday, of course.
The birthday Housen.
Birthday Housen, man. Just can't go wrong. Okay. Let's go to how many people actually attended WrestleMania 42 in Las Vegas. This was the official breakdown. According to new figures released by the Las Vegas Stadium Authority, WrestleMania 42 drew 97,126, declined from the 118,641 reported for WrestleMania 41 in Vegas. The Stadium Authority recorded 4,793 fans on Saturday, 5,033 on Sunday, representing a year-over-year drop, roughly 18%. WrestleTix estimated 102.92 in tickets distributed, while WWE announced attendance of 106.71. Reporter also found that 81% of attendees traveled from outside of Vegas, with 96% of Saturday attendees and 97% of Sunday attendees saying WrestleMania was their primary reason for visiting the city. Despite the decline, Brandon Thurston of ProWrestling.com noted that WrestleMania 14 was still among the biggest gates in WWE history.
Well, no shit, because you're charging a fucking arm and a leg.
Well, I mean, inflation is always going to go up. WWE received $6 million site fee from Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority to bring WrestleMania 42 back to Vegas for a second consecutive year, up from the $5 million paid for WrestleMania 41. Nevada also provided WWE with an estimated $4.3 million in film and tax credits for WrestleMania 42, making the financial incentives attractive enough for WWE to reverse its previous plans to hold the event in New Orleans. The attendance decline also comes amid a broader slowdown in Las Vegas tourism, with April 26 hotel tax revenue falling to $5.31 million compared to $5.62 million April 25. So here's the thing. Yes, attendance was down, and as it should have been, because, again, you notice that the high percentage were out-of-towners.
Yep.
So the locals, if they went last year, why go again this year, right? Especially if you're paying higher prices. But the main thing here is the fact that they literally got $10.3 million from this. So
that's exactly why they said, fuck you to New Orleans.
Right. I mean, realistically, it's like, yeah, the attendance might be down 18%, but they just got two times what they did last year for doing it again this year.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, you know, you saw how the city was, you know, the fact of the matter is that that weekend brought in a lot of activity and a lot of money.
Hell yeah, it did.
So, you know, you can argue all you want about, well, it was down attendance, blah, 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 blah. First off, I think next year's WrestleMania's North American attendance is going to be very low. For some reason.
I really want to see what the attendance numbers are going to be next year.
Well, though,
because keep in mind, like the data actually said there, 97%, 96 to 97% of people said that, you know, that was the driving force. So obviously it's Saudi Mania next year. So Are they going to be selling tickets? Is it going to be conscripted to where the Saudi citizens have to go?
I don't know, man. One of the big telling things is usually probably right around somewhere within the next couple months. That's when they would usually start, you know, selling tickets. So
yeah, typically October-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Hey, staying local, send Bodhi some of his customs. Really, I keep looking at that pile driver Hogan and going, yeah, I kind of like that, man.
Yeah.
But Sid also came up with a very unique concept, and that is he'll do a Mount Rushmore for you of the heads of four of your favorite wrestlers.
Holy shit. That's dope.
Whatever, you know, however you would want that four to be. He'll do that. So,
well, I know where to go. So reach out to Sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And Sin will do it, man. And again, pretty cool concept. I have not seen anyone else. Yeah. You have a lot of people out there doing the LGNs with the 3D printers now, but, man, I haven't seen that. So that was pretty cool. Hey, who was your first wrestling crush?
Realistically, it probably, I hate saying it looking back now and what she's become, but Sunny.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean, even as a kid, I think, saw Missy. I wasn't really huge into Missy. Maybe Sunshine or something like that. Miss Elizabeth was just so plain.
Realistically at that time, dating myself, but I was super young during her heyday, sure, if you will. So, sure. But yeah, man, it's, what Sunny's become is.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate.
I did have a chance to meet Sonny at the Brian Pillman Memorial Show that they did in Cincinnati, right after his passing. And obviously, you know, teenage me was all about shit.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. The president of the United States chimed in, and he liked Sable. Sable was his crush.
That's completely on brand. That's completely on brand.
Yes. Well, not really. Because I think like Miss Jackie,
jeez,
the way he talks about Jade, I would figure Miss Jackie, Jacqueline would probably have been up there for him.
Possibly, but thinking of our president, I think that our president is a Sable fan.
Yeah, but our president, I think is. Pig. I met Sunny in that brief good period she was having in about 2011, early 2011.
Did you get the bed photo off with her?
No, there was nothing like that or anything like that. In fact, like this was like Sunny just when she had cleaned up. I think this was before the policeman boyfriend. Yeah, before shit hit the fan again. So, and she was great. She was in shape and, you know, just everything from that point on. Speaking of Missy, if you guys haven't seen the Dark Side of the Ring, yes, you'll see our boy MK, who's been life partners with Missy now for, I don't know, about 3-4 years, if not a little longer. Just a great story in general with Missy on that Dark Side of the Ring. Some fan spotted this and swears that is little Solo Sikoa.
Solo and Royce.
Of course. Of course, this is how far they go back together.
Hell yeah, man.
But in doing some math, the person did come very, you know, they're like, well, if you take the math, you kind of figure it out. Very well could have been.
Yeah, sure as shit could have been.
Yeah. And then this wonderful thing, executive producer Paul M. Levesque, executive producer Mark W. Calloway.
The duality of Dom's booking is unmatched. He looks like such a freaking geek on WWE programming. AAA, the guy looks and is booked amazingly well. I don't get it. I don't get how that shit works.
No, but
you would think there would be some sort of continuity.
No, you know what? There doesn't need to be. I think it's fine. You know, AAA actually, that's the problem. If you just take WWE and put it in AAA, and then it doesn't work.
Yeah,
and I think that anyone they've tried that with initially, that's what, you know, I think that's the reason that you have Taker down there. I think that's the reason you have Ray down there.
Yeah.
Is to basically keep it flavored and make it a little different, because you don't want to lose the AAA fans. That's
no, not at all.
So, a couple things that crack me up here. Someone posted this about Omos, and of course, breaking news: Omos has no Christmas and no entering ability. I love the spelling on the internet, but you know what's even better, Steve? The spelling.
Yes, Comerical Break.
ESPN just could not get their spelling crew together. And the ironic thing about it.
$1 billion company, by the way.
Right. But the irony of it, who hosts the Scripps Spelling Bee every fucking year? ESPN. So
I didn't even think about that.
Yes.
It's fucking perfect. Holy shit.
And finally, when you finally meet your idol Sting, I thought this was a great picture. Someone actually did say it as kind of a rib that, you know, their friend finally got to meet Sting. Unfortunately, it wasn't Sting.
Either one of them.
Right. I'm pretty sure
that's the police, and it ain't Showtime.
Right. And I'm pretty sure the guy in the photo is the guy who popped his eyes out when Undertaker's streak ended. So kind of looks like him, you know?
Damn.
Oh, man. All right.
Hell yeah.
Well, you know, the president is not with us today. So I'm sure if you check out Trump Guy.
Vegas Trump Guy. Also go there, check out his cameo, Boss Comedy, BOCE Comedy. Get yourself a cameo, man. Make yourself a little bit more humorous. And he delivers, man. Every cameo that I've seen from that dude has been pretty solid. So
and it is Team Roosting and DJ Impact. Yes. Yes, it is. All right, Steve. Your final thoughts.
All right. Thank you for hanging out with us, everybody. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%.
And Rob Does America on Facebook. Definitely look it up on Facebook. If you look it up on the internet and Google that,
you will get a very different search result.
Get some very interesting search results. And if you search that, then Tony Khan might say,
you have a great time tonight.
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will, we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys. Terror.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.